Welcome back, Missio family. Today, you'll hear Pastor Josh talk about how every heart longs for the resurrection. We may not realize it, but we are impacted by it on a grand scale and also on a personal scale. If you have any questions about Missio, you'd like to join a missional community, or you have any prayer requests, please contact us at missio.life.
Well, good morning. Happy Easter. If you're here today and you have fourth or fifth grade kiddos and they want to go upstairs, they can be dismissed at this time. If anybody wants to go upstairs, just right up the staircase there. What you just saw was a video, Peter and John running to the tomb. What a powerful picture, right? Easter is what we celebrate, Jesus' life, death, and ultimately resurrection. So we know that Easter is a big deal. It's a holiday that we celebrate every year. People get days off from work. We get kids out of school. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, if you want them at home with you, but they're out of school. It's a big retail holiday. Like, people are buying Easter baskets, Easter eggs. What else? How about the candy, right? I asked the last service, like, Peeps are one of those things that you either love them or you hate them. Like, they polarize people. I don't know why. So just to poll the audience here, who loves those little marshmallow Peeps? Raise your hand if you love them. Now, if you say, throw them in the trash, raise your hand. Wow. Bunch of haters. I love those things. Sugar and marshmallow, come on. Little bunnies or whatever they are. Baby chicklets. But anyway, lots of hype around Easter. We know this, right? It's a big deal, and people get in their Easter dresses, and we have meals, and it's just, it's a really big deal. And I don't know if you realize, but there are 116 countries around the world that celebrate Easter. So right now, as we celebrate, there are people in 116 other countries celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. It's a big deal. And so if you consider yourself to be a Christian, you know why it's a big deal. You know the implications of the resurrection and what it means. And maybe for some people who aren't Christians, they would say, well, I know what it is. Jesus died and he rose again, or at least that's what people say. And so the resurrection is well known. But what we're going to talk about today is maybe how does it impact me personally? Like, what's the big deal with Easter? And I'm going to argue that it's the longing of every human heart. Before we get into those reasons, though, I want to look at the text that talks a little bit about Jesus' resurrection. We're not going to read the whole story, but I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28, the first 10 verses. You can follow along on the screen, or if you have a Bible or an app, you can do that. This is what it says. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So that is just one of the accounts of the resurrection. Jesus appearing to his disciples. Mary and Mary first went to the tomb, and they went there to see Jesus because that's what you do with a dead body. You put it in a tomb, and it's supposed to stay there. Like, that's what dead people do. They don't leave. But they go to the tomb and they find the stone rolled away and Jesus is gone. So fear, yeah. I don't know. I've never seen someone just like disappear like a dead body. I've never seen that before. They had never seen that. And the angel says, don't be afraid. And then Jesus himself appears. Such a powerful story to see that, to witness that resurrection. And so why is Easter a big deal? Why is the resurrection a big deal? Well, first of all, have you ever seen somebody raised from the dead after 3 days? I haven't. Nobody in the last service had either. So I don't think that it's something we witness. It's a big deal. It's a miracle. I mean, you hear about people who kind of pass, you know, from death to life in kind of a hospital experience or whatever, but not 3 days, like after a burial, right? So it's a miracle. It's a big deal. It's also a big deal because the resurrection is the single most important thing that's ever happened in history. It has changed, literally changed the world. So you go all the way back to the start of Christianity. Jesus was born, came into this world. We know that. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. But when he turned 30 years old, he started his public ministry. And he spent 3 years of his life with 12 guys. He selected these 12 disciples. Disciple means learner, follower. And he spent all his time with them. They hung out. They went to weddings together. They ate meals together. They healed the sick. They taught. Jesus and his disciples served people. And they hung out for 3 years. Now, by the time Jesus was 33, when he was crucified, he had about 120 followers. He had grown this movement. Now, fast forward to today, the global church, 2.3 billion people on this planet claim to be Christian. Out of 8 billion. That's the world population. So 2.3 out of 8 billion people claim to be Christians. Now we can debate now, you know, how accurate that is, whatever. But that's 1 in 4 people, conservatively, that claim to follow Jesus. That's a big deal. So the global church, the numbers of the global church is, it's more than the population of China. The global church is bigger than the population of China plus Europe. And bigger than China plus Europe plus the United States. The global church is huge. The impact and the reach of Jesus' gospel is huge. He has changed the world. Started with a movement of 12 guys, continues today. That's why we're sitting here today. It's because of Jesus. Now, Jesus never wrote a song or painted a painting that we know of. And yet more songs have been written about Jesus than any other person or subject in the world. More artwork has been done because of Jesus as inspiration than anything else, any other subject, any other person. Jesus has influenced architecture. More buildings have been built in his name. Jesus has influenced, I mean, you can go on and on in culture and in art and all because of Jesus. And even the calendar, that's kind of a big one. Like B.C., A.D., resurrection, that's the point that it changed. Even your own birthday is defined by the calendar that Jesus defines. Big deal. The resurrection is a big deal. Jesus is a big deal. And so we could go on and on about his influence and how he's impacted the world. And many of us know this. We're like, yeah, I could explain what Easter's about to someone on the street if they asked me. But beyond it being a historical truth, things that happened, how does the resurrection impact your heart? How does it matter to you? Does Easter matter to you personally? What if there was a more personal side to Easter, beyond just the facts and the story? What if it actually would change your life here, now, and for eternity? Because the reality is, it does. See, the resurrection is the longing of every human heart. The first thing that the resurrection does for us is it's forgiveness of sin. Kind of a big deal. Like, sin is a problem. We all have sinned, the Bible says. And we're not really built to live with guilt and shame, to have that dwelling in us all the time. But that's what sin does. It brings guilt and shame, and we carry that around. So let's talk about sin for a minute. Let's just rewind the tape. Where did sin come from? And what is sin? Well, sin is anything that does not reflect what God is like. Anything that we think, say, or do that does not reflect God's nature, that goes contrary to him. That's what sin is. Where did sin start? Most of us know the story. All the way back to the garden, first humans, Adam and Eve, God breathes them into existence, creates them, and they're just hanging out with God in the garden. They're walking around naked, unashamed, naming some animals, you know, eating some fruit, and everything's great. Imagine being in the most tropical place that you can imagine. You've been to Jamaica or Hawaii or something. I mean, picture somewhere warm and nice and awesome, and that's what they had in the garden. And they had God, and everything was perfect. There's no stress. There's no heartache. But then the serpent deceived Adam and Eve and said, God's holding out on you. He's lying to you. You should eat of that tree. And they believed a lie, and sin entered humanity at Adam and Eve. And sin has affected every human being since. It's a problem. What's crazy about that story, as if you read it in Genesis, it says that after they ate of those forbidden fruit, they covered up. They got fig leaves and they tried to hide from God. Well, there was no more humans in there. They didn't get embarrassed because there's other humans around. Their shame and their guilt told them to hide from God, because that's what sin does to us. It causes us to hide from God. Even though he sees us, he knows us. We can't fool him, but that's what we do. We want to cover our tracks. I've done something wrong. I got to cover it up. And that's our problem. And yet God loves us so much that he says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to deal with your sin problem. Like I said before, we've all sinned except for Jesus. Jesus is the only one who lived the perfect life, the life that we were supposed to live that we couldn't, right? Jesus, fully human, fully God, comes down into earth and he lives the life we couldn't live, and he dies the death we deserve to die. And you might say, well, I don't deserve death. I haven't done anything that bad. Okay, well, God sees all sin as equal. And imagine, we want to see people punished, right? If somebody came in and they murdered one of your family members, would you say, we'll just give them a pass? They might have been having a bad day. We'll hope they don't do it again. No, we want justice. Somebody's got to pay. What if somebody breaks into your house and takes all your stuff? We'll just let that go. No way. We want justice because a law has been broken and somebody's got to pay for that. And God is just. He says, you guys have all sinned, and I can't just ignore it because that violates my own character and the fact that I am just. But I'm going to make a way for you to be forgiven so you don't have to pay for your own sins. And that's what Jesus came to do for us. We sang that song. Jesus paid it all. He did. 700 years before Jesus was born, this was prophesied by Isaiah. This is what Isaiah says in 53 about Jesus. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and we looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care, yet it was our weaknesses that he carried, our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought that his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. So Jesus came into this world on a rescue mission from God to say, we need to deal with this sin because you're going to have to pay for it at the end, and you don't want to do that. That's not good. So Jesus said, I'm going to come down and rescue you. And so at Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, him coming back to life. But before he could come back to life, he first had to die. Now, the Romans had mastered the art of crucifixion. The Romans were horrible, brutal people. And what they would do is they would take a criminal, they took Jesus, and they said, all right, Jesus, we're going to blindfold you. We're going to spit on you. We're going to slap you in the face, and you need to tell us who hit you. They mocked him. They plucked his beard out, ripped it out of his face. And then they began to whip him. Now, the Romans did something. They had this whip called the cat of nine tails. And this was a whip that had nine other whips on the end of it. And on the end of each one of those nine tails was a piece of bone or glass, something sharp, with one intent: to rip flesh. Now, the Romans knew, because they had perfected this art of death by torture, which is what they were doing, that if you whip somebody 40 times, they're probably not going to make it. They might die a little too soon. So they backed it off to 39 times. So they whipped Jesus 39 times with the cat of nine tails. 39 lashes times nine, 351 times that whip touched his back and ripped his flesh. They forced him to carry the cross up the hill. And he was weak and he had help. Then they get up to the top of the hill and they nail him to the cross, stretched him out. And you've probably seen photos or paintings or pictures of Jesus with his knees bent. And the reason that they bent his knees was because the longer you hung on the cross, your body would begin to droop and your muscles were tired and you couldn't even breathe. Your lungs would just, your diaphragm would collapse. You couldn't breathe. So your knees were bent so you could push yourself back up, take a breath, and then sink back down in exhaustion. Up and down and up and down. For hours, Jesus did that. Until he breathed his last. He says, "It is finished." That's what he did for our sin. He died on the cross. See, our sin has to be dealt with. Either Jesus pays for it or we're going to pay for it. That's the option. It has to be dealt with. God is just. He says, "I can't overlook it. Someone's got to pay for it. I'm going to send my son Jesus to take your sin." He gives us a pardon through Jesus. John 3:16 is the most popular verse, most famous verse. Everybody knows this one. It's a good verse. That's why everybody knows it. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life." So I'm going to make an assumption today. I'm going to assume that you probably want to be forgiven of your sins, that you would rather have Jesus pay for your sins than pay for them yourself, that we want to be free from guilt and shame. We want to receive what he has done for us. So because of the resurrection, we can be forgiven of our sins. The resurrection means we are forgiven if we trust Jesus to forgive us. He's standing here saying, "I'll take your sin. I died for it. I paid for it. Give it to me. I see it. You can't pay for that." I mean, you can. You don't want to do that. "Let me take your sin on me and pay for it, because it's already been paid for." So the second thing that we get in the resurrection is eternal life. John 3:16, we just talked about that. Eternal life, right? We want to live forever. I'm guessing that you'd probably rather be in eternity with God, right? Experiencing joy and no more sickness, no more tears, no more hard things, no more stress, no more cancer, no more politics. Can I get an amen? Right? That's what we have to look forward to, an eternal life. The other option is say, okay, you pay for your sins and you will spend eternity separated from God in punishment. It's not good. See, humans were not designed to experience death. I don't know if you realize this, but Adam and Eve were designed to live forever. They were in the garden. There was no death. It didn't exist until sin came along and messed it up. We as humans struggle with death, don't we? Death is not part of our original design. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the heart, in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." So God's design is that he wired into us to live for eternity. And that's why we struggle so much when somebody dies. That's not supposed to be this way. They're supposed to be here. I miss them. I want to see them. Just a few weeks ago, we had a funeral in our family. My wife's uncle passed away. And through that funeral, when you go to a funeral, it really causes you to think, doesn't it? It causes you to reflect on our own mortality. Just like life is short and it's fragile, and it makes you value the people you still have around you. But as I watched people mourn and as we grieved the loss of this loved one, it reminded me that our hearts are not built for this. Like we don't know how to process death very well because it wasn't God's design in the first place. So I'm going to make another assumption. Again, you would want to be with God for eternity rather than being in hell. Jesus talked about hell. It's part of the story. Look at 2 Thessalonians. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. So not every person on this earth is going to spend eternity with God. We have a choice to make. We have an invitation from Jesus to believe and to trust in what he has done for us. John said in Revelation 21, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. We will die. One day we will leave this earth in one way or another. That's the first death. The second death, we don't have to experience that. Because of what Jesus did, because he died on the cross, and because he rose again, he offers forgiveness of sin, and he offers eternal life. People say, well, how could a loving God send people to hell? And I'd ask the question back, how could you not receive his free gift of salvation? He's made a way for us to have a relationship. He's done all the heavy lifting. He's done all the work. All we have to do is believe, put our faith and our trust in him. Jesus invites us into the kingdom of heaven. He makes it possible because of the resurrection. The third thing the resurrection gives to us, the longing that it fills in our heart, is purpose. People have been asking the question for thousands of years, why are we here? What is the purpose of life, right? And people think lots of things. Well, I'm here to just experience pleasure, or, you know, to get all I can, build my bank account, or, you know, accomplish something. We set out on some goal, or we have some quest, and all of it is empty and meaningless because it's not truly what we were put here for. God has a purpose for your life. He has a reason for you to be living on this earth at this time, right now. He has plans for our lives, and yet when we try to define our own purpose, we miss it. God says, here's your purpose, to know me, to have a relationship with me, and to tell as many other people as we can what I've done. Let them know the gospel. Let's make some disciples, Jesus says. That's the purpose. That's why we're here. You guys know the actor and comedian Jim Carrey, right? Played many roles and just had a very successful career. I don't know what his spiritual beliefs are. I don't know. But he said something profound, and I came across this quote. I want to share it with you. I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer. Jim Carrey's achieved his goals. He's famous. He's rich. He's been in all these movies. And he says, it's not the answer. I'm telling you, from the other side. In the early 2000s, Pastor Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. Maybe you remember that. And he starts out chapter one, paragraph one with this. I love it. It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by his purpose and for his purpose. You are not an accident. You are here because God wants you here. Your parents maybe didn't plan it, but God did. And he knows what he's doing. Living for ourselves is a dead end, you guys. It's empty. And take it from Jim Carrey. You'll get there and you'll realize it's not the answer. Stop chasing it. See, Easter is a holiday. Like we said, it's a worldwide holiday. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and so many people know what it's about. You could probably ask most people in town, what's Easter about? Oh, Jesus, you know, died and rose again. Okay, cool. But what does that mean for you? What are you going to do with Jesus today? Is it real? Is it personal? Or is it just historic facts that happened so that we can, you know, have a nice service like this and you maybe take a day off from work and celebrate Easter as a holiday, as a national holiday? I don't know your story. I don't know every person in this room. But I'm willing to bet that your heart longs for certain things. You're longing for forgiveness. You're longing to be free of guilt and shame. You are longing for eternal life. Maybe you're here today and you're terrified. You say, I don't know what's going to happen after this life. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven or hell. Like, can we know? Jesus said, yeah. Told his disciples, don't be afraid. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place. And if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. We can be sure. We can know that we have salvation in Jesus. That's part of the resurrection. It's not a, hey, let's just see what happens in the end. Let's see how it pans out. Not a good idea, right? So you might be here today and you think, man, I've messed up too much. I've made too many mistakes. God won't forgive me. Or I have to do something to get right with God. He says, no, Jesus paid it all. He died for your sins, past, present, and future. Jesus says, I'll take your sins. I know you're going to sin again. I got you. Believe in me. Put your faith and your trust in me. And I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to give you freedom from sin. And I'm going to give you a future that will blow your mind. You can't even imagine how great eternity is going to be because of the resurrection. Maybe you're struggling today. Maybe your heart is heavy. And you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I buy into all this. God's presence is here. The Holy Spirit is here. God wants to meet with you. And he wants to change the trajectory of your life from this moment forward. We're going to close in just a moment. And I just invite you, would you just bow your heads with me? I want us to pray a prayer together. I want us to respond to Jesus and to this resurrection, this wonderfully crazy story that we read about and that has changed the world. And this is a prayer that we can all pray. You don't have to say it out loud, just in your heart. I'm going to say a line and you can repeat after me. God, I know that I have sinned against you in so many ways. I know that there is nothing I can do on my own to fix all the things I've done wrong. I believe in Jesus and I put my trust in him to forgive me. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again to pay for my sin, to give me an eternal home with you, and to set my life on your mission. Give me a new way of living and purpose to live your plans for my life. Amen.
Josh left us with a few takeaways from today's service. Forgiveness of sin. Sin is anything that does not reflect what God is like. Sin is anything we think, say, or do that goes contrary to God's nature. Our sin has to be dealt with. Either Jesus pays for it, or we pay for it. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, you can be free from sin. The resurrection means we are forgiven if we trust Jesus to forgive us. Eternal life. Jesus invites us into the kingdom of heaven. He makes this possible because of the resurrection. Purpose. Pastor Josh said, I don't know everyone in this room and all of our stories, but I know the the longing of a human heart is to be forgiven, loved, and to have purpose. He continues to say, "The reality is we cannot claw out of the grave by ourselves, but God has the power to raise the dead. That is why Easter matters for you and me." Thanks again for listening, Missio family, and we'll see you again next week.